Lucha-Masks.com by Pro Wrestling Revolution. Bringing you, in partnership with Masked Republic, the Lucha Brothers, as well as Japanese legend Ultimo Dragon. Go to Lucha-Masks.com and fight Lucha Strong with masks from your favorite Lucha Legends and Pro Wrestling Revolution luchadores. Stay safe in style and represent your favorite luchador. Get yours now at Lucha-Masks.com, powered by Pro Wrestling Revolution.
Dave, it's me, Dave. I know you want to shimmy in the sun with all your friends, but right now, seriously, don't. Hang out from home, where pants are optional. You can do it for America.
Hey, yo.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
For those of you who couldn't tell, that line was, I'm telling y'all, it's... Yes, that was on purpose. Welcome to another edition of Chair Shot Radio. My name is Greg DeMarco. I am on social media at Chair Shot Greg. You can find me there. You can find me pretty much anywhere that you're looking for me, at Chair Shot Greg. You can even email me. Greg DeMarco at thechairshot.com. You can go to thechairshot.com/GregDeMarco. Lots of information there. You know, I think it was on the Miranda show last week where she referred to me by the less often used Kingpin nickname, courtesy of one PC Tunney. So I'll give myself a song. All right, so, of course, Chair Shot Radio is part of... I mean, if it's called Chair Shot Radio, it's got to be part of the Chair Shot Radio Network, which you can hear over at thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
For all of your hardest-hitting wrestling reviews, news, opinions, and analysis, and so much more, it's sports entertainment and sports and entertainment. It's thechairshot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And because now we are involved in all sorts of media, you can follow it on social media at ChairShot Media.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
God, I said media like 14 times right there. I graduated a long time ago from the School of Redundancies, and that's why I did. Couple quick updates for you guys before we jump in and have some fun with Miranda Morales and Patrick O'Dowd. On my side of things, the newest edition of the Greg DeMarco Show has dropped with CFL linebacker for the Toronto Argonauts, Chris Aki. Just a great time I had with Chris. Recorded that actually the day after Memorial Day, so getting a little bit of backlog content out there, but it's a fantastic interview about the differences between Canada and the U.S., which is a lot of fun. Going into his career as well. So check that out over at thechairshot.com. I got another Greg DeMarco show slated for this week with UFC insider, the guy I've known for a few years now, Jim Grieshaber. Grease did a great job. He actually covered UFC 250, one of 10 media members to get a credential to head up to Vegas and cover 250. And he talks about that experience and the testing and the quarantine involved and all of that coming. So definitely continue to stay tuned. We have established a new YouTube channel. Get those links out soon as we're slowly getting all the podcasts over there. Got some new video content coming. Got a new video dropping tomorrow. And just some more stuff coming as well. Some videos you might not expect coming soon. So definitely look out at that. And we even, as you saw last week at the Chair Shot, and they even talked about it on the edition of Bandwagon Nerds that dropped last week, actually, I think. And then, and you probably got to talk about it again on the one that dropped today. But we got a brand new gaming podcast titled A Winner Is You, DPP, and a cast of characters talking about games. And just a lot of fun there. So much stuff. Not all wrestling, but if you're a wrestling fan, we got stuff that would appeal to you. So much. I'm excited. Patrick, I know you're excited to talk today. We haven't talked about it, but I'm sure when you saw the name Randy Orton on the rundown, you were thrilled.
I am thrilled to talk about Randy Orton today.
Yes, you're hearing the voices in your head.
Yeah, I totally did a little extra work prior to the show after I got the rundown. I did some WWE Network watching.
Did you? I actually... It's not on your guys' rundown, of course, because I like to keep these things for myself to make myself look smarter than I really am. I crunched some numbers, and I got some numbers to present later when we're talking about Randall Keith Orton. I feel like it's okay to go government with Randy Orton better than, like, Phil Brooks. Right.
Yeah. No, it's I just have to throw in that. If you weren't going to do it, I was going to address him by not only his government name, but, you know, what Wikipedia formally addresses him by, and... in this day of age, that seems a little bit more important.
I guess so. Yeah, it helps that it's the name, you know, 2/3 of it he goes by anyway. So it definitely does help that it's. But before we get into some Randall Keith, we'll just call him Randall Keith today. RK. We'll drop the O from the RKO. Watch out.
Watch out for Keith.
Man, we haven't played Watch Out for Keith in quite a long time. I gotta find Watch Out for
Keith. Watch out for Keith.
There you go. I don't even know where the long one is. I'm not even sure if I still have the long one.
Watch out for Keith.
But I got the short one.
Watch out for Keith.
All right. So before we talk about one Randall Keith Orton and later in the show, everybody's favorite topic set for the 3-minute warning, we're going to talk some wrestling because I got to work in. Before we do that, Miranda Morales, you know what time it is. It's time to sell some t-shirts.
Yes. Yes, it is. So everyone, if you are looking for a new t-shirt, you're looking for some new merch to wear. It's summertime. You may be going outside now that the weather is better. Well, I got just the thing for you. You can go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot to get your very own t-shirt representing thechairshot.com. There you're going to find over 25 different variety of t-shirts, different styles, different logos, and different colors. And of course, I mean, the best style to get is soft style. You knew I was already going to say that. However, you know, there's still a lot that you can choose from. We still support you if you do decide to not go in the style of soft. But again, it's highly recommended. I'm working on getting a medical backing on this to say that soft style is better for your health. It's not. I'm not a medical professional, but I'm working on the research funding behind this to prove it. But going to ProWrestlingTees.com. Their t-shirts start at $19.99, but again, if you want to add a little extra and pay a few dollars more, you can. There you're going to find classic chair shot t-shirts, of course, multiple Always Use Your Head, the OG chair shot shirt, chair shot worldwide, and of course, some of our favorites like hashtag Save Tag Team Wrestling, Suck It Nerd, Baron Corbin Sucks, and my favorite, the Queen of Soft Style shirt. So go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot to get your very own chair shot t-shirt. That is prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot for your very own chair shot t-shirt today.
FABULOUS.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
That song, of course, is for the wrestling realist, Patrick O'Dowd. You can find him on your Twitter machine at Wrestling Realist. That's WrestlingRealist. There's no I in wrestling, but there is one in realist, and there is one in Patrick for the wrestling realist, Patrick O'Dowd. Patrick, also the host of Bandwagon Nerds. Besides Dave abruptly cutting off the opening theme of the show, what can we expect to hear if people tune in to the edition of Bandwagon Nerds that dropped today, which is Tuesday when we record this?
You're going to get a deep dive with Christopher Platt. I think that's the best way to describe the back half of our show with a conversation that started talking about HBO Max dropping Gone with the Wind and just went everywhere. It is a conversation that myself, Dave, and DP had with Platt that was so great. I really like it. I hope y'all listen to it. You'll also catch a snippet at the end of the show instead of the playout music of the new podcast that Greg mentioned, A Winner Is You, to give everybody a little bit of a sample of what they're doing with that gaming podcast. So give us a listen. Check us out. It's a good time.
Of course, the aforementioned Christopher Platt.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
The official voice of the ChairShot soundbite.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
All right, Miranda, now last week wasn't bad, but the week before, we all know what happened. So it's time to deliver your moment of the show. I mean, you had one moment already with the commercial, but it's Royal Rumble countdown time. Just laying the groundwork for the Royal Rumble countdown.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes, it is.
Because it's time. It's time for the Royal Rumble.
As I'll ever be.
It's time. Okay, that technology failed you on that because
it, what?
Because yeah, it definitely
failed. I had my microphone up, like I purposely moved, you know, made it louder, all of it.
No, it wasn't me. Because Patrick saw it too, because I saw the look on his face or heard it too. Yeah, you cut out at probably the worst possible moment to cut out. So, and yes, as Patrick put in our chat, you're back to Godzilla movie mode as well. Big time. You can, yeah, we see it like 5 minutes after you say it. So we got to do it again.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right, good enough. I did my, they count to me. They understand. They talk to me. That's still low-key one of the best theme songs ever. Like, serious.
It used to be my ringtone.
I know. I remember. Like
back in the day when you used to have music for ringtones, because that was
I still have Adam Cole as my notification.
Very nice. But I loved that song. Yeah.
The worst part was at WrestleMania 30 when they sung it, and you realize just how big of a douchebag that band is. Like they look like a bunch of douchey losers. Right. But they sing Randy Orton's theme song. So
they put together a dope theme song, though.
They sure did, and it's
that I cannot sing along with without inserting the IC Daniel
say,
Bryan.
So,
every
do you
time.
Remember the words, the alternate verses that I wrote for this song?
I just remember IC Daniel Bryan. That's the only one that stuck with me.
So I see if I can get to the part of the song where it is, but it's I hear voices crying. I see Daniel Bryan. I see Big Show crying. Because that's back when the Big Show would cry. D-Von's testifying. That's the line. So let's get
the
to that
full
part
verse.
Of the song. Let's get to, wait, that's the wrong theme song. Hang on.
Right.
Let's get to it. Okay. Here it comes. I see Daniel Bryan. I see Big Show's crying. D-Von's testifying. See, it's perfect.
It does work.
It does, I know. I wrote it years ago.
Spot on.
That and when I took the Rage Against the Machine song "Testify" and turned it into Devon getting the tables and test the fries or something like that. Check the fries. Yeah, there was a whole big – I'd have to go back and find it. This is like 10 years ago at 411 Main. But it's all coming back to me now. It's all coming
just
back.
Just like riding a bike. Coming back it's all coming now. Back. Yes.
So quick aside before we get into the Randy Orton topic that I'm very excited. First of all, quick check. Yep, we're recording the show 16 minutes in. Very excited about that. Always have that moment of fear. But for those of you watching at home, I just muted the mic so I could. You're welcome. The greatest wrestling match ever.
Tell them that.
Why not? Like,
this isn't being viewed.
We pull back the curtain. You know how this works. We pull back the curtain. You used the pull back the curtain line last week on the hashtag Miranda show to the guest. You explained us pulling back during your interview. So you know what pulling back the curtain is all about on this program. Patrick does too, because he's probably the first person to ever use that line. Just like he's the first person to ever say that Roman Reigns is going to be a big star.
Anyway. Hey, thank you.
Yeah.
There's your one. Here comes the big dog.
Oh.
You're welcome.
That's actually what I was looking for. I wasn't.
I like the big dog.
Here comes the big dog. There it is. Here comes the big dog. The big dog, Roman Reigns. The big dog. And we kick off Monday Night Raw live tonight in Phoenix, Arizona with the big dog.
Big dog.
Oh, Michael Cole. So I want to talk about the greatest wrestling match ever because, okay.
Sorry.
I'm shocked that, like, the whole world, myself included, didn't realize what was going on. Like, first of all, the theme song for Backlash was for The Greatest Showman, and it was like a redone of the song. So there's a tie-in right there. The greatest wrestling match ever was cinematic. It wasn't supposed to actually be the greatest wrestling match we've ever seen. Like, there was a theme, and I just think people completely missed that book. Completely missed. They weren't actually trying to put on the greatest wrestling match that ever took. Edge was even making fun of it on social media.
Right. I felt like it was an homage to greatest wrestling match ever.
Yeah.
And I think it was very intentional with the dropping of the MSG mic to Howard Finkel doing the recording introductions, the piped in crowd noise, which people got really angry about.
Which I don't understand.
Very much.
Commentary explained it like at the beginning of the match. Like, they explained why they were piping it. It's not like they did it to fool anyone.
Sure. I mean, fans, you know, internet's got internet though. So, and if you look at the construction of the match and what they did, like there were just nods to other wrestlers throughout time and history, like throughout the whole match. And whether it was Edge hitting a rock bottom, Randy Orton dropping the pedigree, I got what it was trying to do. It was a very fine match. Like, it would have, in front of a live crowd, it would have gone over quite well, I think. And I don't see why. I think people didn't. Yeah, you're right. People didn't catch on to what it was going to be ahead of time. They were really hung up on the moniker. And I, me included, like, I was like, why are they putting this moniker out here? They're just begging for it to fail. Like, that's what you're thinking, because people, like, and then they're throwing Steamboat and Savage and Hulk and Andre and Austin and The Rock and Austin and Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker. I was like, damn, those are some serious shoes, people.
Adam Cole and Johnny Gargano. Oh, they didn't put the.
They did not.
No, they didn't. They just missed the cut, apparently.
That's a soundbite. I didn't get a text. That's a soundbite.
I see how this is, like Patrick said, too, an homage. Both of you said an homage, almost a love letter to professional wrestling. I talked about the Firefly Funhouse being an homage or a love letter to maybe the more marquee fans or kind of the more, not cynical fans, but to a certain population of fans, because I had so many inside Easter eggs and little nuggets of referencing, you know, say Cena and Bray Wyatt's past. And this did it in a way that was way less obvious, but still an homage to great periods of professional wrestling and really focusing on professional wrestling, not gimmicks, not any type of other matches, just pure professional wrestling matches with the movesets and all of that. So I do believe that that's what it was, but because it just wasn't so obvious or in your face in the way that they presented it, other than just pushing the greatest match ever, I could see why some people kind of miss the mark or interpret it in a different way.
It's so funny too, because you talked about how it was less gimmicky, but the WWE has come full circle to the point where a wrestling match is now a gimmick match. Like, that's basically what they did. They put on a wrestling... Nothing says we're not a wrestling company like the greatest wrestling match ever being your gimmick match on Backlash.
Very true.
Like, literally. And here's the sad thing about it. It was the second best cinematic match of the show because, my God, the Viking Prophet segment was amazing. Yes! Like, I loved that. Emily May, who's been doing videos for the Chair Shot, she's got a video dropping tomorrow, and it's all about the Viking Prophet segment. And, dude, ninjas on motorcycles. Like, there's just nothing... Like, I'm sorry. You can take your pure wrestling. You can take your whatever. I am 100%. This is what I want WWE to. I really do. Like this is great. I can get the other stuff elsewhere. No one does this better than them. It was so good. Like, that thing. We got the dream segments, magical turkey legs. Like, it was just so fantastic. And there wasn't a payoff to it at the end. So it's got to continue. And yeah, I just loved it. I just completely loved it.
Patrick, are they saving tag team wrestling?
Not particularly.
They're saving cinematic tag team wrestling.
They're saving entertainment. They're definitely putting the E in the WWE.
No one is saving tag team wrestling. Not even the vaunted AEW is saving tag team.
Find me refuge. There's no place.
I mean, you can watch New Japan where there's random 8-man tag match.
No, Greg. In fact, I'm almost going to use our 2-week homework assignment that you haven't hit on yet just to do a tag team match, even though it's not my favorite match of all time.
It's like,
I'm
favorite.
Going to scour through some greatest
so
hits.
That is a perfect segue. So let me go into that before we talk to Randy Orton. No, I right. do that in a heartbeat, but talk about Randy. So in 2 weeks, and it's 2 weeks for a reason, because Patrick O'Dowd's not going to be here next week. And, well, this boy, do we got something planned for next week.
Yes.
See how much planning Miranda does. So I have the weekend to pull that off. But in 2 weeks, I want to identify our actual greatest wrestling match. So I want each of us to come to the table with our greatest wrestling match ever. Maybe three or four other options that we had. They're honorable mentions. There's no ties that are allowed. I want to point that out right now. No ties are allowed. But we want to come to the table with our actual greatest wrestling match. We're going to do that in 2 weeks. Right here on Chair Shot Radio. Also, I want to be clear about something because we haven't revisited this in a while. I haven't reset this. So Patrick's going to be gone next week. And we have a little something that's never been used. The Danger Zone card that each Patrick and Miranda do hold. And the rules are, if you use it, you then cannot use it the following week. And Patrick, I've never made a stipulation for being gone the following week. So you could make an argument that if you used it this week, Your week without would be next week. Therefore, you'd be able to do that. I'm not saying you have to use it.
You're saying this is my chance to push the Playboy Buddy Rose Hall of Fame induction pitch. Is that what you're saying? Yeah. 1000% guarantee you, Miranda, that was not what Greg was expecting me to say right there.
I didn't have an expectation because I knew you weren't going to go with the topic that caused the creation of the Danger Zone segment. But I also, with you, it could go any one of a million directions.
And this week it was Playboy Buddy Rose.
Sure was Playboy Buddy Rose. So I'm just throw it out there. You probably got about 30, 35 minutes left to utilize it if you want to. If you don't, that's okay too. Anyway.
I do want to know, Miranda, do you know who Playboy Buddy Rose is?
Playboy Buddy Rose?
Yes.
I do not.
You need to go look up Playboy Buddy Rose at some point, at the very least, to see the commercials that he did. Yes. The commercials that he used to do. Oh, my God.
We'll send him.
Speaking of entertainment, cinematic.
Back before cinematic was a thing. Okay, back to Randy Orton. Back to Randall Keith Orton. So after defeating Edge in the greatest wrestling match ever, Randy Orton then vanquished Christian in a sports entertainment main event on Raw, and now could be poised to be the next challenger for Drew McIntyre. Randy's already a 13-time world champ, already main evented WrestleMania multiple. He's won 2 Royal Rumble, 1 Money in the Bank briefcase, 17 championships. And my question for you guys, and what I want to discuss, is just where Randy Orton falls in the quote-unquote all-time. Now, there's so many different ways we can go about this, but I'm going to leave it open-ended, and I'll let Patrick start, and we'll see where it takes us, because I know he did some research, I did some research. Where does Randy fit all-time?
So, I looked at it in the context of the WWE, because that's where we've seen him work. I think he is a top 10 WWE wrestler of all time, and if there was a number one underrated wrestler of all time, I think it's Randy Orton. Because this guy, first of all, the level of vitriol he used to get when very early in his career about his capabilities and his ability to work or whatever, like, it was brutal. Could go back and archive the Twitterverse. Like, it was gross.
I want to jump in. Real quick, because you were early on the bandwagon. You were the early Randy Orton supporter. But here's the biggest thing. I say we because I was one of them. The things we complained about regarding Randy Orton are now the same exact things we love him for. All the stupid little mannerisms back then are now the little things he does so well. Like, it's just, he's done it, and he's done it for so long that it's, again, come full circle to where that's greatness, and that's what he's doing. So, but you were always a Randy Orton fan. I remember when people started to turn around, right around WrestleMania 26, you were he came out, and you were the first one popping for Randy Orton, and of course we were there the night he turned face, basically at night after WrestleMania,
right?
And just huge star at that point, huge star.
Yeah, I think that it's so interesting with, like, second generation wrestlers, third generation wrestlers. They have to get past that shadow of their parent, even if it's Cowboy Bob Orton, who, respectable wrestler in his own right, by no stretch of the imagination am I saying Bob Orton was trash. I'm not saying that. But, like, Randy Orton still had to overcome being Bob Orton's son. And people would just, like, because he did a chin lock as part of his moveset, you know, it was one of his five moves of doom, to bring it back to last week, Miranda. Like people would go nuts if he did a chin lock and be just pissed off that he did a chin lock. It's like, why? Freaking, I just, the work that I did, I watched Steamboat Flair 2 in their trilogy on the Clash of Champions 2003. You know how many chin locks are in that match?
Oh, goodness. Tons.
But that shit's classic.
Of course it is.
Randy Orton did a chin lock. He was like, fuck that guy. He also, as Jim Ross would let you know, had the best drop kick in the business. That was the other thing used to set everybody off, was when Jim Ross would say that Randy Orton had the best drop kick in the business. And the reason they're pissed is because he was right. He had a very beautiful drop
kick. Still does. Like, I mean, it's Okada
beautiful,
level.
Beautiful drop kick. Yeah. He's such a fine athlete. And once he got smaller, he's so fluid in the ring. Like, that's the thing that I really have always appreciated, is his ability to move and his overall athleticism. He just makes everything look easy. And I think that's part of it too, is when it looks easy to a person, when a person makes it look easy, you almost question their effort. And I really think that that was a big thing about Randy Orton early in his career, is that people thought he was just getting handed shit, kind of like The Rock. He was just getting handed his place and then he wasn't earning it. And, you know, you look at that big class that they always talk about, the big four of Orton, Batista, Lesnar, and Cena, and who's going to be there at the end? It's going to be Orton.
Randall.
Mm-hmm. Orton's the lifer.
Yeah.
Keith is the lifer. And it is the one that deserves your love.
Watch out for
Keith. Go ahead, Miranda.
No, I agree. I'm going to add some elements to it, I guess, just to throw another perspective. And I've had kind of a complicated love-hate relationship with Randy Orton. And a lot of it has nothing to do with his wrestling. And I feel like that's also where things can get misconstrued by fans, is trying to separate that line between him being a really good wrestler and maybe just not liking things that he does, or his previous attitude towards certain things, or maybe the way that he was treated. I feel like those are all aspects of his legacy and his history. And of course, you know, I don't think there's any great wrestlers out there that don't have a complicated past or complicated history within wrestling. But I do think it's somewhat important to acknowledge it, because I feel like if there are fans out there that are kind of conflicted like me, it's, you just got to look at everything as is and all of the facts, and really understand where maybe your feelings of dislike or just maybe underwhelm, whatever it is about Randall Keith Orton you may or may not like, where it's all coming from. And I've talked about this before, as kind of the one time I really remember having a definite opinion about Randy Orton, and that was really through this whole Eddie Guerrero, Rey Mysterio, Randy Orton storyline. After Eddie Guerrero had passed away, and Rey Mysterio and Randy Orton started to have this rivalry, a lot of the things that Randy said about Eddie and his legacy and you know, his death really struck a chord with me, not only because I'm a fan of Eddie Guerrero, but I also just come from a culture where you really don't speak ill will of the dead. So for me as a fan, granted, it did the right thing. It was getting me as a fan upset. He was doing his job perfectly. And that's one thing that as a fan, when you really don't like a heel, it's because they're doing their job. And that's one thing I do have to commend him for. And his heel work, he is the best out there still to this day. That may come out as flat sometimes because it wasn't as larger than life or dynamic when it comes to his promo works and say a John Cena. But because of the fact that he was consistent and it was the little things that he did to make you dislike him was incredibly smart. So I do think there's his character work that is underrated more than his wrestling. And the way that it was perceived by fans was maybe that it was flat, uninteresting, not dynamic enough, but really, you know, he was able to pull things out of you, emotions out of you about not liking someone, and the way he treated his competitors and other people in the WWE that really made you hate him. And I think that was a rarity. It wasn't cheap heat. It wasn't, you know, any cheap ploys. It was real, for me, real dislike of the man. So that's something that I went back and forth on about this because he's not one of my favorite wrestlers of all time, but I absolutely see him in top 10. But it's also because he did his job. I hated him. I hated him. And I still even don't like him now. I was really rooting for Edge. I didn't want him to win. I absolutely understand why, but it's because he's been doing his job now for God knows what, 15 years of making me hate him. So that consistency, I don't know anybody that has had that kind of consistency in character work. And I do feel like that was
relative good health.
Yes. Yeah.
Like relative good health compared to, you know, some of these other guys. You're supposed to, his youth in particular, he was a douchebag.
He was.
As a person. Like he's a terrible, like he's shit in people's bags. Like he was terrible.
Too. He'd admit it right now if you asked him, like he would. Right. He's admitted coming around on even the whole Black Lives Matter movement. Like he's talked about what he's learned and he's so open and honest and always has been. And sometimes that's a detriment and sometimes it's positive. So he made his debut at the age of 19 years old. So he turned 20 like a couple weeks later after he made his professional. And
well, didn't we do a show where we talked about like how many titles he could win just because of his age?
Yeah,
because I looked up his age and was like, shit, this dude's really young.
He's 40 now, and he's still not done.
Right.
And he's probably got a good 5 years left, if not more, if he wants to. And that's the greatest thing about Randy Orton. And on the all-time earnings list, he's probably a lot further up there than you think just because of longevity. And, you know, even now, I think he's under a $2 million a year, five-year contract. He keeps a private jet. He doesn't own a private jet. That was a joke he did on social media. But he definitely, you know, has the private jet. And he's just become a huge legend. And he speaks out. The things he speaks out on now are the reasons why he's been so successful. Like he speaks out on not killing yourself in the ring and career longevity and all of this. There's a lot to be learned in the things that he says with. And it's just, yeah, I definitely think top 10 to me, because to me, Mount Rushmore, for whatever argument you want to make, you've got Hogan, you've got Flair, you've got Rock, you've got Austin, and you probably got Cena. Like that should be your top five. Then when you look at that next five, you've got Triple H, you've got Shawn Michaels, you got Bret Hart, you got Sting, you got, you know, does Orton fall in there? Edge could be in that argument, as we've talked about before. There's so many people. And so I ran some numbers and because I wanted to kind of make some comparisons and draw some comparisons. And I went with mainly contemporaries and then I got some historicals in there. So Randy Orton is a 13-time world champion and he's held 17 total championships in his career. That makes him, that means that 74% of his title reigns have been, what are you fingering to me?
Patrick? I'm just
you trying to do the math.
Yeah.
74%. 74% of his titles have been world time. Now for comparison's sake, Triple H has had 14 world titles, but 24 total titles, 58% of Triple H's titles are world titles. John Cena, 16-time world champion, 25-time champion. Therefore, Cena, 64% of the time was a world champion. Just for the hell of it, just for shits and giggles, I wanted to throw this in there just to kind of compare where Randy Orton is against where some other people are. Dolph Ziggler is a 2-time world champion and a 14-time champion. That's 14% of his title run. Just want to throw that in there for comparison's sake. So now I didn't even include like Steve Austin. By the way, Steve Austin, 50% of the time was a world champion. The Rock, 59% world championships. Bret Hart, 41% world championships. And Shawn Michaels, 28% world champ. I mean, that's, I rattled off 7-8 guys right there. Take away Ziggler, 7 guys right there. I didn't include Hogan. I didn't include Flair. All right, so that's 9.
Talk
right
about
there.
A rocket strapped to your ass, though.
Right?
Like, oh, yeah.
Because you know, a lot of those guys that you named off, and I, at first I was trying to explain it away in my head of being like, well, it's the era. Because you used to do that segue thing where it was like, oh, you're the Intercontinental Champion first off and on. Like, Bret Hart's my favorite example.
Which Orton was.
Like, Bret Hart went, yeah. Bret was a tag guy who then worked through the Intercontinental belt with like 2 or 3 different programs before being a world title guy the rest of his career.
Nope. Savage, Orton, same thing. Which
was Savage, same deal.
Well, and also Orton became champion at a time, and I know some of the others you listed in there as well, just when there was 2 world titles. So I know that that skews it slightly, but not, again, you have Cena on there also became champion when there's 2 world titles, even Rock and Triple H. They held both world titles at one point. And the fact that Randy's held them, the highest percentage of his titles have been in that elite level, is absolutely what Patrick said. I mean, I think from day one, they knew what they were going to do with him. And the fact that he's one of the few who've actually been that successful with that rocket strapped to them is a huge testament to his career.
Now, if you look at Royal Rumble wins, Orton has won 2. Triple H has won 2. John Cena has won 2. Shawn Michaels has won 2. Bret Hart and The Rock each have won 1. And of course, Stone Cold Steve Austin, the only 3-time winner of the Royal Rumble. Again, you know, Ric Flair's 1-1, by the way. I think Hogan's 1. So I didn't have them list, but
Hogan is 1-2.
There's Randy Orton once again. Like, I mean, if you know, the greatest of all time, the greatest group of all time, he belongs there, in my opinion. And it's hard to say that about a guy who's currently active, but he belongs in the conversation for the greatest to ever do this. Not the individual greatest, but he belongs in the conversation, that group, that exclusive club of the greatest professional wrestler that have ever, at least in WWE, that have ever done it. And I don't think everyone is there.
No, I don't think they are either. I think that he is, like I said, I think it's easy to underrate him. Partially because he has been a part of the company for so damn long, too. Like, I think that that makes it easy to take someone for granted. And he hasn't had, like we talked about, he didn't have, like, an Edge moment.
Right.
Where we were worried about him not coming back ever again or retiring. Or like, you haven't had that yet. And he's only 40.
Right.
Like, just to bring that all back. He's only 40. How old is AJ Styles?
40, 41 maybe.
Yeah, I think he's older.
Yeah, AJ's older.
I think AJ's older than Randy Orton. And that's like, yeah, it's just crazy. Like he gets to write his own ticket when he's out. Like when he's done, he should be able to leave however he wants to leave. And I think it is. I think he's just that he's always that constant there. Some of it is feels like fatigue. I think that we've gotten past fatigue though at this point. And now I do think people are starting to appreciate him more. I don't see it was vitriol.
Oh, it was
earlier in his career. It
so
was
just much
straight up, and some of it, you know, was because he was a terrible person. Some of it is just the flat fact that he is so good. That whole Legend Killer thing was great.
So good
for him, and he played it so well. And he's still playing the Legend Killer thing as he's talking shit to Edge after he wins his match.
Yeah.
Like, tell your wife and kids that Uncle Randy says hi, or whatever it was. Like, he's still playing that gimmick and that character, and rightfully so.
And I think that's what's going to make his legacy a little complex, because a lot of those people that Greg have listed in some ways had a really good face run. And people view a lot of these wrestlers with some kind of fondness, whether it was the time that they grew up, even if they weren't always a face, they still had solid face periods. And I just feel like even the face periods that Randy Orton has are never going to be as memorable as his heel runs.
Because and he's better as a heel.
Exactly. He's better as a heel, 100%.
But there's another guy. In the human psychology,
you want, you know, you find more of that fondness with good guys than bad. And I feel like that's just more of that mind thing that as fans, it's sometimes hard to separate, and why it makes some of his legacy a little bit more complicated. You don't get the warm and fuzzies like you do.
Every RKO, my heart glows.
Well,
I haven't gone there yet.
No, you know what? That's a good point, though. RKOs, that leaves fans in awe. I feel like there's RKO moments that leave fans in awe, but it's still somehow they separate that from Randy Orton. They separate the moment of an awesome RKO from the entirety of his legacy. So Which I do feel like there's a little conflicting from that.
Because when he hits that RKO, like go watch any RKO video. It's what he does after the RKO. Even he's in shock half the time that he hit the RKO where he did.
He pulled it off.
So good. You know what's funny is you talked about everybody, you know, what they're remembered for, the face run or whatever. Does anyone remember Ric Flair as a babyface? And it's not apples to apples, Ric Flair and Randy Orton. I get that. And it's Ric Flair, so it's different. And we all love Ric Flair. But he wasn't a good babyface either. Like, he really wasn't. He was lovable, especially the way he retired. It's the original retirement. So there's that too. But yeah, Randy is just, he's just phenomenal. He deserves every bit of praise. He really deserves everything. And yeah, the RKO, I mean, that he took that move on. Obviously, it was a diamond cutter, but it's not like DDP invented the damn thing either. You know, in all honesty, as much as everyone hates to admit it, it was from Johnny Ace. So there you go, internet. It was called Ace Crusher before it was anything. But
right.
And it was more of a stunner before it got changed. There you go. Two of the most iconic moves in wrestling invented by Johnny. I want to point that out. Not Chris Jericho. But that's a internet joke. Internet
joke. But Chris Jericho mastered the armbar, so.
Yes, all 1,000. But the RKO is a part of Randy Orton's legacy as well. And it's so weird to use the word legacy with Randy Orton because of the faction name Legacy. But he was, and he's been there for so many amazing moments and amazing matches. He's been so many guys' best opponents. You could argue that he's Daniel Bryan's greatest opponent ever. You could argue, you know, in favor of him being John Cena's
certainly
best
Edge's.
Opponent. He's Edge's greatest opponent and greatest partner, maybe. Sorry, Christian. Like, rated RKO, pretty damn good. It's not the same, but if you look at just so many similarities.
Miranda, you made a face there like that. This was fighting words over the edge. Sorry. And Christian.
No, I just found it funny. I was like, no offense, Christian, but this guy who just beat up your best friend and you is actually a better tag team partner than you were.
Shawn Michaels.
That's a messed up logic.
Shawn Michaels never thanked Marty Jannetty during his Hall of Fame for diving through the barbershop window. So, there's that.
Oh, well.
So Randy Orton, I don't think you can put him on the mountain. I don't think you can supplant Hogan, Flair, Austin, Rock, Cena with Randy. But I think he's in that next group. And I think when you compare him to a Triple H, when you compare him to a Shawn Michaels, when you compare him to a Bret Hart and the like, he belongs there. Whether or not, and I think Edge belongs there too. And I've said that before about Edge. And Edge may get another one before he's done too. And Orton's one away from tying Triple H. And Orton could break the record. Like, he's still got time. And with everybody being gone, and if you believe the news with a Z that Vince is unhappy with Raw, and that's where Randy Orton is, you know, Randy Orton's been a champion in a glass case before. You could do it again with Randy Orton, and next thing you know.
He's a commodity.
He could be the one to beat Flair and Cena.
Money in the chase. If you have Drew chase it again, you can rewrite the story with a different opponent and, you know, do what Drew has been known to be doing well and chasing the title.
They did it with Austin. Like, Austin won the title from Michaels, and the very next year he won it from Rock at WrestleMania. They did it with Seth Rollins. He beat Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania and turned around and had to beat him again at SummerSlam. Like, it's not, you know, the formula's there and the formula works, and you could do it with Drew McIntyre, despite the size, like McIntyre physically shouldn't be one to have to chase so much, but whatever, if it works, it works, and I'm a big fan of doing it. But yeah, Orton's a legend, and Orton belongs exactly where we're putting him. And if you're not putting him there, then, you know, I'm not going to go so far as to call you an irresponsible fan, as I've done to some people in the past, but maybe it is irresponsible, Patrick O'Dowd. Maybe I should do that, because Randy Orton, it deserves every bit of praise for being such. So we're going to transition real quick, and let's get some stuff out there. And I'll start off by talking about our good friends over at PowerSlam.tv. Of course, PowerSlam.tv, tons of wrestling content, only $6 a month. You can get a free month with the promo code CHAIRSHOT. I'll tell you about that in a second.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Of course, that's powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT. Over 150 of your favorite wrestling promotions and Combat Zone Wrestling, the company that trained Adam Cole. powerslam.tv. Get your free month, and it's only $6 a month after that. powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT.
Delta. Shield. Hey folks, listen up, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net. Pins, stickers, illustrations. angrylemonade.net.
This is my yard now.
Viva la raza! I lie, I cheat, I steal.
That song, of course, is for the Twitterless heroine, ring announcer to the stars, the queen of soft style, at the hashtag Miranda on social media. Miranda Morales. Miranda, obviously we're going to be recording the hashtag Miranda show here shortly. So what can people expect when they tune in Thursday morning when that drops on this week's edition of the hashtag You Show?
Yeah. So let me preface this. We are going to be talking about COVID, but it's not going to be a complete bummer. I know that when anyone talks about COVID, it's in a pretty negative light. However,
I've got some bad news.
It's surrounding us, literally. Greg and I live in Arizona, which is one of the states that's seeing an increase in that. So I do want to talk about that and a few little hidden gems on how that's impacting wrestling within Arizona. But also on a national level, there was some news released regarding WWE and its current COVID situation, how other promotions have been taking precautions when it comes to COVID-19 related health concerns. And really just try and put a spin on it to educate ourselves more as wrestling fans on how COVID is impacting professional wrestling.
That's right. And if all goes well, I don't want to let the cat out of the bag too much, but it could be a new way to listen to, and there could be a new way to consume the hashtag Miranda show. Ooh. We'll see how that goes.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes and we're out of here. The clock is ticking and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes and we're out.
All right, so it's going to take longer than 3 minutes to talk about this, but that's okay. We're doing really good on time this week. We need to talk about wrestling. It's just, you know, occasionally we got to reset this. We got to bring people back to planet Earth, as Patrick O'Dowd used to use so often. That's what made him the wrestling realist. We got to talk about wrestling news. And so I need to set the groundwork because, you know, podcast listeners, there's tons of churn, tons of turnover. Who knows what episodes they listened to before? Who knows when they discovered the show? So we need to go back to wrestling news. So there's three types of wrestling news. I want to make sure everybody understands there's three types of wrestling. There is news that is actually true. Okay, I'm going to lead off with that. There are three types of wrestling news. One of them is news that is actually true. Okay, a good example of that could be the number of people that attended a specific event. All right, that is news that could be actually. There is news that is speculation when reported and ends up being true. Okay, what could that be? Someone could speculate that Drew McIntyre is going to win the Royal Rumble. They have no knowledge of the fact that Drew McIntyre is going to do that. They predict it. It comes true. Now they look really like that. Speculation on their part. Then there is news that is purely made up. I'm not going to give you an example of it. Just go read The Wrestling Observer and you'll find it. And you'll news that is purely made up. If you're unfamiliar, because we haven't talked about it in a while, there is a Wrestling Observer newsletter message board, and you can find Miranda on there at Meltzer Rock 69. And if you want to log in as Miranda, it's Patrick's mom. Sick is the password, so that's you can definitely
pound key. You left out the pound sign.
Damn it, I'm sorry. Forgot to pass. Fuck. Oh, well. Doesn't matter.
That's what your mom said.
That's right. The pound sign? Weird. Okay.
The pound. It's fine.
Sometimes you throw spaghetti. I'm a comedian. Sometimes you try jokes and they don't work.
True.
So I want to, but I really want to dig in. All right. This is what we haven't necessarily talked about, and I want. There are three sources of wrestling news, and this is what we haven't really talked about, too. So I want to dig into these three. And just a little bit, okay? There's news that comes directly from talent, all right? I'll give you some examples that are starting to come to light right now. A big source of wrestling news over the past few years that's no longer that source, at least for WWE news, was The Revival. The Revival was feeding wrestling websites news. So was Dean Ambrose at the time. Look at the people who immediately gave wrestling websites interviews after they left the company. And you can see who sources of wrestling news were while they were with the company. So Patrick O'Dowd. What could be wrong with, and Eric Bischoff has talked about this on his podcast, what could be wrong with wrestling news coming directly from?
Well, there's a couple of things that could be wrong with news coming directly from the talent. One, the talent may not know shit about what they're talking about either in terms of whatever it is that they're quote unquote reporting, particularly if it's some sort of closed door meeting with management only that they kind of throw out there. But the other thing is that a lot of that news is being fed out there to serve an interest, and that interest is usually in the best interest of the talent that's sharing it. That's like why do you share that information if there's no other reason than to benefit mm-hmm. you? And exactly. So you have to take that information with a grain of salt.
And not only that, but you're getting one individual's opinion at the same time.
Right.
Like they're usually, most people don't put wrestling news out there because they're happy about something.
It's skewed.
And that's where a lot of it comes from. I'll be honest with you. Fightful, that's almost all their news comes from. A lot of that's been squashed. And I'll be honest with you, if you really want a kind of a hack or whatever, figuring it out, when release time comes, look at the people that the company has no problem releasing. Bigger names that the company mm-hmm. has no problem releasing. Carl Anderson. So I'm just saying, like, just trying to, you know, just ask
yourself. You had something caught in your throat there, man.
I know. I swallowed.
Do you need a drink of water?
Yeah, no, I got three different drinks in front of me. I finished two of them. Yeah, I swallowed some Carl Anderson.
A malted beverage, perhaps?
And I love Carl Anderson, but I'm just telling how it is. So then there's news that comes directly from the off. Miranda, what could be wrong?
Oh, sorry.
That's I view that more as the talent side, to be honest, because this is news that comes directly from the office that the office is intending to give to a wrestling news.
I see, Miranda, what you're saying. Okay. Yeah.
What could be wrong with that? She froze. Thinking.
I was like, I don't know who froze. I thought because you didn't move right away either. Is it my connection?
Thank
you.
So I feel like
there's a lot of parallels between.
But she was talking the whole time.
We lost you for a second there, Miranda, so you might want to start your answer over.
A second?
Okay, 30 seconds.
Things are slowing down.
This is great. Okay, so she's back.
But is she back?
No.
Her mouth is moving, right. But we can't make out the words.
No, we can't. It's Tucson,
Arizona. Pick me.
Okay, Patrick, what could be wrong with news coming directly from the office?
Well, news coming directly from the office is the PR that the office wants you to have. Like, it's all about spin for the office or for the company. So again, that's a biased source. And you have to just know that going in. Like, it's coming directly from the office. It's coming directly from the office for a reason, and it's to make the company look good, usually.
Exactly. Yeah, they want it to get out. And it could be true. It could be not true. They could be trying to spin something, especially when it comes to releases, talent situations. So
pregnancies.
Exactly. Like again, it could be for ratings. It could be for... Lastly, it's news that is really speculative on the part of the reporter. And I guess I will answer that. That we couldn't hear. Okay. And she just heard me say it too because she can hear us. But the speculative part of it, when it's speculative on the part of the reporter, to me, this is the worst kind because you run the risk of them getting it right. And suddenly now they have credibility. They have credibility as a news source. I'm using air quotes for an audio show. They have credibility as a news source when they got lucky that they predicted. It's like when I write a predictions article and I predict that something crazy is going to happen, like Mark Henry is going to enter the elimination chamber. I called a few years ago out of nowhere for no reason whatsoever. I didn't claim I had insider information. I just made a lucky prediction. But I could have been like, someone told me, you know, and it's how they can suddenly gain credibility as an insider when they don't have it. And then their speculations gets taken as news in the future. And then people get upset for no reason. And it just kind of snowballs in a really, really bad way. All because of news that was speculative on the part of the... I'm not going into any specific news items today. There's obviously the COVID news out of WWE that we're too earlier. I will tell you this. You don't know what the situation is in Florida unless you're there. You don't know the availability of tests. I know I had someone reach out to me who lives in Washington, and they basically said there's no public availability. There's no private availability. You can't get them unless you're a medic in the state of Washington. So if WWE were doing this in Washington, they couldn't test everybody like everyone. If they did test everybody today, they canceled tapings and tested everybody. But it's not as easy as people think it is. And we all think it should be one. Usually those of us who aren't running a company think it's really easy. And that's right. Kind of what it comes down to. And that could fall into any one of these three categories, pretty much the speculative part. But I'll remind you of something that I've said earlier, and I've said it before about wrestling news, and I want to bring it. When you hear wrestling news and it sounds really sensational, it sounds like something you wish was true or you want to be true or you can't believe it's true, you owe it to yourself as a fan to keep a level head and take a step back and say, wait, what else could this be? Because a lot of times the answer to the question, what else could this be, is right. And you'll be much happier, be a much happier fan in the long term, maybe not the short term, because you're kind of getting rid of some of the sensational part of it, but in the long term because of it. Because remember, a lot of these wrestling news sites and a lot of these wrestling news reporters, they basically feel as though they're part of this. Because remember, this business is built on a lie, even though that lie has been outed so many, many generations ago. This business is built on a lie, and there's still a lot of people who love lying as part of it. And the wrestling news cycle is a very big part of that. I'm just going to have that warning out there for everybody to understand. So Patrick O'Dowd, you got the week off next week. And we're gonna do it without you. And like all I'm saying, again, Brenda's got big plans for big plans.
I know she's trying to finalize getting me ousted from the show entirely.
No,
I
not
get
at
it.
All.
This no, it's be, no, it's cool. Nefarious plans are in play.
It's gonna be the Greg DeMarco and hashtag. It's gonna be the hashtag Brandon Greg DeMarco Super Such Good Shit Show number 6, I believe. And it's gonna be. She's still trying to talk.
Now that I know what's going to happen, I'm going to have to redo my outro on Bandwagon Nerds because I dropped the Miranda's trying to take my job part of the outro.
That's part of your thing.
And now I got to bring it back. Like I had softened my stance, Miranda. I'm on to you now. I'm on to you. Stealing my best friend in our show. And I'm stuck on a beach.
Yeah, with your family.
Drinking beers.
And we're creating, and eventually we're doing a brand new show, which is, so yeah, it's all.
Eventually, we were supposed to start that on the week that I had nothing but time.
It was never going to work. The week I had last week, it was never.
Thanks for that one, Greg.
Not going to be. You were busy. You had to get a haircut and do yard work and lots of things.
Yeah, that during the day. It's a shameful thing. Lobster head.
Let's wrap this thing up. Patrick O'Dowd at. Wrestling, I almost said the Wrestling Realist. I almost mixed your
no.
At Wrestling Realist, WrelngRealist. Bandwagon Nerds every Tuesday at the Chair Shot. The Nerds Review now dropping on Thursdays because we had a hole there, so we're going to fill it with review. And no better way to fill it either. The Nerds Review. Is the movie been picked this week for the Nerds?
Yes, we are doing the Mel Brooks classic Blazing Saddles as we start a run of Mel Brooks polls.
Spaceballs didn't win, huh?
What's that?
Spaceballs didn't win.
No, Spaceballs is definitely is has a strong lead on this week's poll because what we're doing is we're just cycling out the winner and adding a Mel Brooks movie to the poll every time. So 4 Mel Brooks movies to choose from. This week we added Dracula, Dead and Loving It, and when Spaceballs wins, I'm sure that the guys, because I won't be doing the show this week, they'll add the next Mel Brooks film to the run. So we'll see what happens.
Sounds good, and of course. Miranda Morales at the hashtag Miranda on Instagram. No Twitter. You still, the Twitter is heroin if she did a takeover of our Twitter last week. Miranda, maybe try to say something. All right. We'll get that fixed by next week, I promise. Thank you for listening to Chair Shot Radio. I'm at
maybe Chair by Shot the Miranda Greg. Show.
I hope so. We've got to record it next. I'm at Chair Shot Greg on all of your forms of social media. Visit thechairshot.com at Chair Shot Media. And for Patrick O'Dowd and Miranda Morales, we bid you a good week. And remember to always soar.
Than ever. Stronger than ever. Forever. Rocky Logan. Yo Logan. Show Logan.
Show. Yo and Rocky. We about to make Roppongi 3K. Transform and optimize a proper.
Tell me how my ass tastes.